few weeks back, I was given this beautiful chrysanthemum as an expression of gratitude for being a pastor. And it's been just blooming just bright on my porch for weeks now. And it cheers me up. I always enjoy flowers. The blossoms to me speak of our Creator and of His work in our lives. And as I was looking at it this morning, actually, it kind of popped into my mind as an illustration of what I want to talk to you about today. Because we talk about this idea of growing gratitude, expressing our gratitude to God. And we all know we ought to, but that doesn't mean we do so well. And gratitude is not an accident. It's grown. It's something that you have to cultivate to have it do well. And so it's an issue for us to think about, am I cultivating gratitude the way God calls me to? In Psalms 118, verse 1, there is this very simple declaration given. I'd like you to read it with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. True? His loving kindness is what?
Everlasting.
So if His loving kindness will not ever come to an end, neither should my gratitude. You see, you can grow gratitude even if you currently have a different attitude. All right? You know, you heard that story of a lady, and they were at the doctor, and they were talking about her condition and how difficult things were and how painful life was. And he asks, "Do you wake up grumpy?" She says, "No, I let him sleep in." You know, some of us sometimes get this attitude that can actually become part of a reputation of our life. But for the believer, gratitude ought to be grown. There are plenty of things to gripe about. If you need a list, I can give you one. But the Word of God has given us a list for gratitude, has it not? Been walking our way through Ephesians here and just thinking about that fact that he chose you and He called you and He adopted you and He's graced you into salvation. It was interesting. And in that very introduction there in Ephesians 1, he pointed out that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. That if you have hoped in Christ, have you hoped?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad some of you have. The rest of you, I hope you get saved today. It's going to happen, okay? If you have hoped in Christ, you are to be to the praise of His glory. You see, some of you yesterday were hollering and hooting at a television. Some of you are saving that for today. Ridiculous, but we do it. But it has no comparison to the God of glory. No comparison. And so, if you think about this. You can be sad. You can be mad. You can be stressed. You can be depressed. You can still grow gratitude. It's a choice that you can make. Now, I don't know how you eat your food. I know how I ate my food when I first got married. It was one of those dawning realizations. The first meal my wife and I had sat down to in our little apartment, and she'd been bringing the food to the table. It was a sewing table. We didn't have no furniture, didn't have no money. We had plenty of love. But she sat there, and we prayed, and it's like, wow, here we are. We're really starting this, you know. I looked up, and I was done she was starting to cut her meat. And I realized, this is going to take some work. Now, you're raised in a family of six kids. You know how to eat quick because you want to get enough, okay? But what I mean is, as I talk about it, is that, you know, sometimes we gobble our food. I think sometimes we gobble the events of life. I want to encourage you to savor the flavor of life. And whether it's the color of a fall leaf that drifts down beside you, whether it's the look of that child's face, whether it's the promise of the Word of God, that you would savor the flavor of life. Because gratitude grows the soul like food nourishes the body. I would like you to be spiritually fat from gratitude. Are you with me? That we would so express that. And I think when you begin to take notice, it awakens your soul to things that you won't even see. I keep a gratitude journal. I would encourage you to do the same. And at least three things per day has to go in there. Write it down to deliberately put my mind to be obedient, to rejoice, to be thankful. And I think it sustains me. Why? Because gratitude awakens your soul to God's good work in you and around you and through you. If you recognize it, and it changes your attitude. All right, so we celebrate Him. But thanksgiving is developed by telling yourself the truth. See, because you tell yourself a whole bunch of stuff, and we edit and we comment on God's work. Some of you got up this morning, you did not thank Him for the rain. It's glorious, glorious rain, glorious sunshine at the same time. Only in Oregon can we do it so well at the same time, all right? But you can give Him praise for that, or you can gripe about that. And friends, when you tell yourself the truth that my God is good, that He's doing good, that He's done good, and that He will continually do good, it'll grow gratitude. Because what ingratitude does, what the grumpiness thing does, is it denies the goodness of God, it denies the work of God for good in your life, and it then denies God the glory for who He is. And I have no intention of doing that. I want to encourage you to be people who would abound towards God's glory. Give Him greater shine. We sometimes, I think it's hard to think, how do we give God glory? Because God's glory is there. And maybe it's just the idea that you just go, yeah, look at that. Don't you do that sometimes? You see something outside and you're with somebody you care about. You go, oh, look at that. That's what your testimony does. Look at what God did. And you can whip a testimony into any conversation, Monday through Friday, by the way. They can't outlaw that. Wherever you work, you can say, this is what God did this week, and this is how God worked on my grumpy attitude. Of course, you know, if you testify that, then you got to practice it, you know. But that's okay. Sometimes it's good to put yourself out there a bit. My friends, the Father commands us to rejoice always. And He said, again, I say, what? Rejoice. All right? So now, if Father commands that, He knows what the truth is. He's not asking you to lie. He knows what's good for you, and He knows what's going to give Him the proper place, the glory in your life. Did you not have a father who made you do things that you didn't want to do because it was good for you? Isn't that right? Now, they may not have always even been good, but they made you do things that were good for you, and you discovered later it really was good for you. You know? Think about this. Praising God, hear me, does not deny pain or problems. It puts pain or problems in perspective. Are you with me there? It doesn't change. Some of you understand what I'm saying. You can deal with levels of pain and levels of hurt and levels of brokenness, but grumpiness does not help it. It's just the expression of where you are. But praise transforms the moments that you're in. Pain does happen. Agony comes to us. And sometimes it doesn't just visit. It lives. All right? And loss depletes us. But it doesn't defeat us. It can discourage us, but it can't crush us. Now listen. Open your eyes to the God who's with you, to the God who's in you, to the God who's for you forever, shaping you to become like Jesus Christ. That's what you asked him to do. So in those trials, in those difficulties, in those hardships, yep, thank you very much. That is exactly what I need, Father. I trust him with, I praise him in that. And by the way, I think this is the truth. Whiners will never attract any father's favor. Can you men agree with that? Whiners never attract any father's favor. Don't be the whiner. Be the one who praises him. Be the one who exalts him. Because he says, we're to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now listen. You give thanks because you believe the truth. Not because you feel the truth. Not because you see the truth. Because sometimes you can't feel it. I don't. Sometimes you can't see it. I can't. But you want to, but you just don't get it. It's all right. What's the truth? Get this. Believer, we walk by faith, not by sight. How much of your gratitude is pure sight? Step into the principle of faith and it will transform your daily work experience. You will never have another ugly Monday again. The Creator made Mondays just like he made Sundays. Amen? Amen. So give him praise. Give him glory. My God is good. He's working for good. In whatever catastrophe I may come across, he is seeking his glory in my life. How does he get it? When I praise him through my pain. When I praise him through my problems. Even your non-Christian friends are happy if they win the lottery. They're happy if everything is going good. Show them the difference of what it means to be a person who walks by faith. You can grow gratitude into your attitude if you feed your soul the truth. Do any of you ever get hangry? You know what I'm talking about? You had a child that gets hangry, that hungry, angry thing together. One of the reasons, believers, I think we get hangry is because we're hungry for the truth and you haven't been telling yourself what the truth is. Tell yourself what the truth is. You've been saved through faith by grace forever. If that ain't a reason to give God glory, I don't know what is. Father, thank you that you've given us a privileged opportunity to know what truth is, to reveal truth to us. Help us now to declare it to one another, to encourage each other in it. Amen. Later on in Ephesians, when we get there, he talks about coming to that place where you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a manifestation of being filled with the Spirit of God. So this morning, I want us to do that. And so I'd like to invite you to think about ways to tell each other something about the goodness of God. And we'll have microphones that you can, will be run around to you, and you can just stand and give the Reader's Digest version. of the story that'll allow somebody else to be able to give God glory for what he's doing in and through your life. So what are you thankful for? Well, I want you to think about some things. One of them is why do you think God's worthy of praise? Can you give God praise this morning, perhaps, just because of who he is? It's not about some of the stuff that he's done, but just say, you know what? Here's one of the truths of God's character that I'm really thankful for. So just come up with a reason to praise God for who he is, all right? Another, so I'm just going to put these on the screen here. Another is going to be, how has God brought you through a difficult time in your life this year? You know, what are the lessons that you've been learning through the process? So I want to talk to you about a trial that he brought you through, okay? And then what is an unexpected blessing or provision that God just dropped into your lap? You didn't expect to see it coming. It just happened. And what has it taught you or reminded you about God? So there's just a blessing, perhaps, that he's surprised you with. Or what is a personal breakthrough that God has answered? An answer to prayer, a breakthrough, something that's took place in your life that's going to let us know, wow, there's a living God who's working for good in your life. And so we're going to just hand out a couple microphones here and have people take care of that. I'm going to have Timothy, if he'd come and grab the blue one here. And anybody else want to help me out on the other one? I usually run around one, but you're welcome too. All right. So what we'd like to have you do is just raise your hand and we'll bring a microphone to you. Let me give you one basic instruction. This will allow the sound person to give thanks the whole service as well. You take the microphone and you hit yourself on the chin, all right? That's just leave it there. It's very difficult to amplify from the belly button. Okay? So up here, and our sound guys will love you for that. All right, raise your hand. And tell us your name, just so we help everybody get to know each other.
My name is Eve, and I give huge thanks to God for bringing me to this church and this church family.
Thank you, Eve. Anybody else?
I give great thanks to Cheryl and Mitchell, Ken Mitchell. They are such prayer warriors. And we were in 30 miles in the middle of nowhere in Montana during hunting season up there. And it started to pour rain and started to snow. And there was no radio, no communications whatsoever where we were. So by 4 in the morning, I woke up. And my husband was still asleep. And I woke up and I said, Lord, we need help getting out of here, because the road was really muddy coming in, and we wondered how it was going to be, and nobody was around. And I prayed some other prayers to Ken and Cheryl, because they were such prayer warriors, and I knew they'd hear me. And I know it's not a life-threatening situation, but it really concerned me. And so we get up in the morning, and I'm out there walking my dog, and out of nowhere comes this man on a four-wheeler with a big cigar in his mouth and everything on a four-wheeler you could imagine for hunting. And he was from Wisconsin, and he was out there, and he gave me the weather report. And I was so relieved to know that morning it was going to clear up a little bit. So we headed out, and our mini motorhome had only road tires. And we are seasoned Oregonians. I don't know what we were thinking of. Anyway, we head out, and that was such a blessing to see this man. And then later, we get to the part that was really going to be a challenge on the Montana side after being off in Idaho a little bit. And here comes this monstrous road grader And he was just moving all the mush, and nobody else was around. And it was just answered prayer. It wasn't cancer. It wasn't a car wreck, but it was, I know Ken and Cheryl were praying for us. And I really miss them.
My name is Dawn. I have two things I can talk about. The first one is a trial. I know as parents, we watch our kids go through school. We watch our kids go off to college. Most of them get married and have children. Some of them come back at 34 years and have no job, have no money, have no place to go, and end up coming back to live with you. That's the trial that I have, that Mike and I are going through now. The next thing on James's list is a blessing. He's a blessing because I know where he is every night. He may not be where I would like him to be, far from the Lord, terribly miserable, not wanting to get up in the morning, but he's still my blessing. He's still my son. And I have great confidence that the Lord will bring him soon to search for the help that he needs. And that's my trial and my blessing.
Thank you, Don.
My name is Armida, and I'm going to try to do this without crying. Just when we're talking about it, makes me want to cry. The Bible says that it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the name almost high, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. So that's morning and night, giving thanks to him. As many of you know, I was going through a cancer struggle, and I decided to do something alternative instead of the regular medicine. But during that struggle, I just was thinking that Like my life was in my hands, my times are in his hands, and there was such peace in knowing that, and just that I don't have to, it isn't like I'm committing suicide doing this or doing the other thing, but it's just that my times are in his hands. And I just think too that I want to thank God that he is the ruler over all the nations, and we've seen his mercy in wonderful, wonderful ways, and I think we should always give thanks to him because he's sovereign and in absolute control.
Hi there. This is Pat. Where do I go with this? When I was about 26 years old, my wife and I were going to a church, and we weren't married yet. And they knew we were living together, but they were very loving people, and they kept encouraging us. And one night, after quite a bit of prodding, they kept asking us about baptism. Are you guys immersed? Have you been immersed? And I know that she just got up one night at one of the services we were attending, and she said, if I don't go do this now, I'm never going to do it. And being a good fiance and whatever, I sat in my chair for about 5 seconds and said, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to sit here and look like an idiot. I'm going to go with you. And I came and I talked to James a few months ago, and I said, you know what? Even though I was baptized at that time, all I remember about that evening was cameras, choirs, flashing lights, lots of applauses, lots of things like that. And I said, for the next 30 years, okay, 30 years, I've wrestled with that. And I've actually written songs for 30, 35 years since I learned how to play the guitar, and one of the recurring themes in those songs was always feeling like I had one foot in the circle and the other one just outside. I see some heads nodding. I think you know what I mean. So a few weeks ago, probably a month ago now, James and Ernie came to my house, and we went and got in that freezing ice-cold pool. And I said, I don't want a fanfare. I don't want to exclude the church family. but I didn't want to come up here and be up on the center stage and take a chance at losing my focus again. And Jesus impressed upon me at that time that I needed to go there and I needed to meet him there this time, and that he promised he would meet me there. And I've always been one of those people that doesn't do real well with criticism and things of that nature, so I tend to look at my sins and my issues and things like that from a worldly standpoint, is what other people think about me. And there's a song written by a guy that a lot of people haven't heard of, but in that song, he basically just repeats one of the Psalms, and it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord." And I listened to that song over and over and over again. I finally thought to myself, you know, after this 30 years of waiting, I'm done. I'm going to go. I'm going to get in my pool in my backyard. Limited exposure. That water was cold.
Yes, indeed.
But my pastor and my friend, my other pastor, came over to my house, and we did that. And right away, I was able to lay down at night and go, you know what? I'm a sinful man, and we both know that that is true. But he has saved me from that, and he has taken a lot of that guilt and a lot of that shame and not let me be crucified with it any longer. So I wanted to share that with you folks. I knew this time was coming up, and you came up and stood next to me up there this morning, and I just kind of felt that presence of the Lord. No, I know. The presence of the Lord saying, you know what, if not today, then when? Just like the baptism, if not now, then when? So I want to encourage anybody. I'm not saying we're all out there, and I don't want you to go home and question your baptism by any means. But if there's ever been any doubt in your mind, or if you've thought about taking that plunge, if you go meet him there, and you go there authentically to meet him there, I guarantee you he will be there. That's a promise.
Hi, my name's Marvin. I choose that first one, a reason to praise God for who he is. And last week in our group meeting, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 8, it talks about how he answers. He speaks for us when we don't know how to pray. And he goes before the Father for us. And so often, you don't know how to pray, you don't know the situation, you don't know it all like God does. So when it gets like that, I just go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to pray for you, or for whoever you're praying for. And it just, it's a great comfort for me to know that he's there for that. And even when I know how to, think I know how to pray, I may not be praying right. But God does know. So that's my praise to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Liz. I'm kind of nervous. I just want to say praise for my dad, for all your prayers for him. 6 months ago, some of you don't know, he had a quadruple bypass and an artificial valve. He almost died three times. He did die three times on the operating room table. But now, 6 months later, he's driving he passed his CDL test with flying colors. Had to carry a 50-pound bucket, run on a treadmill. And now he's driving a 42-foot, 26-ton bus. And mean as ever. You guys think he's nice. I was giving my mom a hug, and he saw you leaving, and I says, yeah, and he goes, hey, super. But I always know that he'll be there for me, and he's my knight in shining armor, and I just want to thank you and praise God that he's still around to harass me. Thank you.
I just want to tell Pat that God gave me his devotion this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 8 is where I started kind of. And it says this, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your ways." And then the verse before that, the two verses before that, says this, which is my encouragement to myself and this fellowship that I love so dearly. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because he is so very, very near. And he wants you to call upon him," because he says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord," and this is the part that blesses me, "and he will have mercy on him. For he is our God, and he will abundantly pardon."
Amen.
My name is Kevin. Last week I went to an event I had wanted to do since I was a little kid. I went to a NASCAR event. Yeah, I know. Turn left. I got the plot. Turn left 500 times, be the first one to the end. But the event is insignificant. God did 3 miracles, somewhat in a row, for something I've been praying for a long, long time. I love my family that I'm around. It's basically my wife's family and my church family here. My own family, my blood family, I've not seen since I was about 12, 13 years old. We were really, really tight during those years, but some things happened, and my father couldn't drive, nor could my mom, and we just ended up in the middle, and life goes on. A large part of that family is up in Kennewick, Washington, and how these events come together. This particular event that I was at had 67,000 people at it for 3 days. It's a lot of folk. And at one of the races, about 10 laps into it, try to keep this short, some folks sat behind me, and the friend of a family member I've never met looked at me and told her buddy, my second cousin, "You know, he looks like a teagle." And she's going, "No." And she bothered her enough that she called her dad, who my cousin is, and somehow, I don't know how still, he got my cell phone number through the family somewhere, and gave it to her buddy. She wasn't going to call my second cousin. She just wasn't sure. And as I'm texting my brother Daryl about the race, who's very jealous of me being there, she sees the name Teagle. And they kind of go crazy and bump me on the shoulder. And I turn around and ask me my name. My Kevin, and my Teagle. And I'm very... It's a sea of people. 67th, it's a sea of people. And turns out that's my second cousin. She says, I'm your cousin Rusty's daughter. My name is Summer. Wow, goosebumps, all that sort of thing. I'm so excited to see her. They're not supposed to be sitting there, by the way, and neither was I. I was not in the seat I was supposed to be in, and they were supposed to be on Rattlesnake Hill. So that's miracle one. We're supposed to meet the next day. I'm very excited. Almost the race is now insignificant, which was a childhood dream. Yeah. The next day, I try to call her. She's left her cell phone. It's not working. Whatever. All day long, I'm trying to get to this. And I know I'm going to follow this through, but I really wanted to spend more than 10 minutes. And then I run into the friend's husband, who recognizes me. Miracle number two. Hands me the number of their site. I lose the number because I'm Kevin. And so the next day, the last day of the race, it's completely packed. And I'm returning my radio. I can't get her on the phone. And there they are. There's an entrance where you give your radios back. There's 4,000 to 5,000 people giving it back. They're right there, the whole group of them. We meet. We go to the campsite. As a result of a couple pictures now, a family reunion of my part of the family is happening. They're all very excited. The amazing part of all of this is they're very colorful, rough folk. Not as polished as I am. And it got on Facebook. It went somewhat viral. My brother looked at the whole story, and he commented, "There's no way this is anything but God," which is a miracle that he would even say such a thing. And that sentiment has seemed to echo through the family now. So I don't know what's going on. something big is happening, and that's my praise and thankfulness.
Hi, my name is Krista. I could not, that bug inside of me just told me to say some, and I really am mad at it right now, but that's okay. I'm really thankful to this church. I actually grew up in this church. I went to Good News. I went on a missions trip when I was 15. And then soon after that, I lost a brother. My mother lost a son. My parents got divorced. I went off to college. I never left church, but 15 years went by. I thought about James a lot. I remember my mom calling me a couple years ago and just saying, "What do you think about going to Jerome Prairie Bible Church?" And my first thought was, why did we stop going? It feels like home. It really just feels like home. So I'm just very thankful to you and this church.
Okay, so I wasn't going to do this. I guess I'm going to go with a reason to praise God for who he is. You know, I'm my own worst critic. You don't have to correct me or, what's that other word? Give me constructive criticism, because I'm way ahead of you. I've already been there, done that. And I can do that with God a lot, too. And what he's been showing me a lot lately is, it's kind of like he doesn't see us the way we see ourselves. Because of Jesus and what he's done for us, he sees all the goodness that he's put in us. Not our failures, not our sins. And I think that's what God just wanted me to tell everybody here. Don't be so down on yourself. Yeah, we've all struggled. We've all failed. We're all tired. Life is hard. But don't put yourself down. Don't tear yourself down. Especially with God, because he'll, now you know. because of who he is and because of what Jesus has done, we're all awesome in God's eyes.
Amen.
I was hoping that this particular service would be next week, which I did not plan on coming to because I am terrified to do what I'm going to do, which is to thank each and every one of the people in this church who prayed for me. My name is Chris Improdio, and my husband, for the last 3.5, almost 4 years, people have been praying for me. I've gotten calls and cards. I've had so much love given to me. And of course, to me, the embodiment of Jesus' love is in this pastor. I've never seen that kind of love in my life, the unconditional love that he gave me at a time when I was most unlovely. I want to thank each and every one of you. I don't have enough words to thank you. I just want you to know that I always praise God for giving you the heart to pray for me. And I'm much better, and I never thought I would come here and be able to give this testimony. I really didn't. So I just thank you all so much, and I praise him with all my heart for who he is. Thank you. Amen.
First praise I have this morning is that Krista's sitting here. I saw her this morning. I used to be your Good News teacher. And I went through those hard times with her family. This wasn't where I was going this morning, but I'm so blessed that you're here this morning, Krista. I'm Sherry, by the way. Most of you know me. Been here forever. I wasn't here last year for this, and I missed it desperately. But I was with my dad in the hospital. And I'm happy to say that he's still with us. And that's a miracle in itself. Because he still has an aneurysm. And he still hasn't decided what to do about it. But he's talking to God about it, which is awesome, too. Because several years ago, my dad wasn't saved. And this all comes around full circle. I'm very, very thankful for this whole church family who has always stood by our family's side. For a pastor and his beloved wife who have been so wonderful to our family. And not just because they're there and they give hugs. It's so much more than that. They're teachers and they're equippers. And they can't be there all the time. And a long time ago, that was really hard because, you know, you feel really needy when you're young. Being in the hospital last year with my dad, and I don't say this lightly, I became the spiritual head of our family that day. For a time, because Dad's back at it. But with my mom, we sat there, and we were able to share our faith with strangers who were going through horrible times. And God just kept encouraging us to do it. And without having been equipped by more than just James and Susie, but they're the main ones, to stand strong in the Lord, we would not have been able to share why we had the hope that we had, even though we knew that any moment could be my dad's last breath. But it did even more than that. It has brought members of my family back to the Lord. And as hard as this is to say, I would not trade any moment of that experience last year. You never want your family members to suffer. You never want them to hurt. Most of all, you don't ever want to lose them. But we know we're going to, and God's got a plan for that too. But it has drawn members of my family back to the Lord. And that is just amazing to me. And it has continued to open my husband's eyes more and more. He's coming, and I know he is. And I know Johnny will be saved eventually. And I know God's got a plan for our lives. And I'm so very thankful for another couple in this church who have been very special to my daughter, who's gone through a lot this year. Every girl, every child, never hurts to have another mother praying for them. I'll tell you what, children will teach you how to pray. And I just thank every one of you for being such a wonderful family.
I have to follow that because there is so much of what she said that I've experienced this last year. My name is Doug Addington, and you know, most of you know about Holly, and there's a lesson that God has been teaching me over the last year and using her in that respect. I could preach a sermon on every one of those from what I have learned in the last year. But suffice it to say, the one thing that God has been laying on my heart to share with you today, and this has been something I have been thinking about and praying about, knowing this service was coming for quite some time. And my Bible just went away. Okay. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. The hardest lesson I had to learn through all of this with Holly was giving thanks for the cancer that took my wife's life. And I'm telling you something, people, that when you can give thanks to God for the worst thing that can happen to you, when you can do that, there is a peace and a comfort that comes that you cannot understand any other way. And it was the hardest thing to do the first time that we found that her cancer was spreading. We sat in the car outside the doctor's office and bawled. And then I said to Holly, I said, you know what we need to do right now? Is we need to sit here and pray and thank God for what we just heard. And she looked at me and she said, you're right. And we did. And from that moment on, the peace that passes all understanding came over us. And we were able then to live in a place where God kept us constantly connected to Him. And we didn't worry anymore. Sure, we had times of concern, times of, you know, oh, Lord, why? But yet, we were always in His hand. And until you do that, and you have got to believe me, and James has talked about it, he talked about it this morning, but until you do that, you will never understand what real peace is. When it says in everything, that's what the scripture means. Everything, even if it hurts, and even if it's hard for you to get it out of your mouth, and it's hard for you to take it from here to here, you have to do that. And when you do, you will just be amazed by what God can do. That has been the sermon I have been preaching, more or less, to everyone I come in contact with. People on my mail route, friends, non-Christians, I share it with everybody. Because people say, well, how do you get through something like that? How do you handle that? And I say, I can't, but He can. And when you give thanks, you can get through anything. It doesn't take it away, necessarily. I'm not saying God couldn't have miraculously healed Holly. He could have, and that's what we prayed for, but that's not what God had in mind. And James said something earlier when he said, thank you, God, for this because I needed it. And I know now, today, that I needed what we went through because it has drawn me, and I pray that it draws you, and I pray that it draws everyone that hears my words to Him, because He is the truth. He is the life. And through Him, you will be able to live a victorious life regardless of your circumstances. Give Him glory.
I have one last thing to say to praise my prayer warriors in this church, because my mom is finally out of rehab. She's 94 years old. She fell. She broke her knee. A displaced fracture in her arm. She fell on her face. She broke her nose. And it was a really difficult time. But she's out of rehab, and she's home, and she's doing great. Praise God.
I wanted to talk about what he had spoke over there about the resurrection, what Jesus had said, that he was the resurrection. He asked Peter if he believed that. He asked Martha if she believed that. And he asked Mary if she believed that. And he got different answers from each of them. Sometimes he would say something, and he was speaking to somebody, and it was like they weren't speaking to each other. They didn't hear him for what he said. They were expressing something else back to him, but I believe it, that He is the way, and that's why I appreciate getting communion every week, and it means so much to me. And that he was broken for us. And every time we have communion, I can hear a song in my mind. And it is that we remember when we take up this cup, we remember that your blood fills it up, that you were broken so that we might be healed, as you commanded, Lord. We remember. It just means so much to me to have that every week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Smokey. That was my wife, Pam. And, you know, God is so good. And, you know, I might be a little different from most of you folks here, but I came from a lifestyle of out in the drug world and with some people you probably wouldn't want to hang around with or even see or have anything to do with. But I want to tell you that in 2005, God turned that around in my life. You know, I was involved in drugs, and for 15 years I had an addiction in my life. And, you know, and the night before Mother's Day in 2005, I cried out to God. I was so tired of my life. I was tired of going in and out of jails, prisons, and God set me free when I cried out to him. And when I asked him to change my life, I really meant it this time. I accepted Christ in 2005. Actually, it was a rededication, to be honest, because I knew the Lord, and I walked away from him for a lot of years. And when I called out to him, I had a 15-year addiction of methamphetamines in my life. I not only used it, but I manufactured it. And, you know, I know the devil was using me to destroy lives out there. But, you know, there's a big drug world out there, and, you know, some of you might know people that are involved in addiction. And, you know, when he touched my life that night, I went to sleep, and I had been using meth for 15 years. Even when I was in jail, I was using meth, crystal meth. We were even trying to make it in there. That's all crazy. That's all much the devil wants you to work for him. But, you know, that night when I went to sleep, the next morning, he delivered me. He set me free after using 15 years of meth, amphetamines in my life. I woke up the next day. It was gone. He miraculously healed me. And I've been set free for that. And you know, we come in and we praise Jesus. We thank God on a Sunday. And, you know, we should do that. I've learned to do that throughout the week, not just Sundays, like the pastor says. But you know that Jesus honestly delivered me, and going in and out of the jails, you know, listening to testimonies, there's people in there that will never come out. They're doing life terms in there, and I've seen people in there praising God and thanking God. They says, you know what, Smokey, I'm here to do life. I'm never going to come out, but, you know, I've been set free from the inside. Jesus has set them free, and Corey and Dory, what you guys are doing, you know, me going in and out of jails and prisons, little did I know you guys were involved in prison ministry. You came up to us the other day and asked us if we would get involved. And I know you said Angel Tree. And I had something else in mind. But when you said prison ministry, you know that when I left California, I needed a change in my life. Not only did God deliver me, but I left to North Carolina. That's how I met my wife, Pam. And little did I know I was going to end up going back into the prisons, but for the right reason. We've been involved in prison ministry in the past in North Carolina. We were involved in families in crisis, serving families like you guys are in time of need. When parents are incarcerated, there's children. And, you know, the ministry that you guys are involved, if a lot of the people here in church don't know about it, I encourage you to get involved and to help these children. There's a big need out there. You know, we got the Gospel Rescue Mission here. They're doing a great great need in the community. We got Joel's Place. They're doing an awesome need for the community as far as the youth. There's big need out there. And, you know, and we're the ones that are supposed to meet these needs because we're the body of Christ. God did it for me, and I want to do it for them. You know, God is so awesome. You know, he's all almighty. He's all-powerful because my addiction didn't just go away because it was just a dream. I woke up. I was set free, and that's how powerful. 2014, I had cancer in my life. I had cancer. They told me that I was diagnosed with cancer. You know, God healed me. He took it away. I go have checkups every 3 months. That's how powerful our God is that we serve here today. He can heal you. He can set you free. He can take you away from that environment you used to once. You know, you can't just walk away from certain things. You know, people expect you. You're sold out. You belong to us. But, you know, they respect that. It's only the power of God that can do this. And I want to thank God today. I'm grateful.
Amen. Thank you.
My name is Donna, and Dave and I are both new here, and I have just been blessed with a surprise from the Lord. By shedding tears and hurts and gratefulness for all of you who spoke, and I don't even know you, we hope to get to know you, and not only because I'm a sentimental person, just because I know this is a reassurance that we are in the right church family for us, and I look forward to getting to know you, and we're truly blessed by being here. Thank you.
All right. Hey, you guys preach pretty good. Because we have a good God, and he's given us a great message. Your life is a message. And that's one of the things that, you know, we do this every year, that it's just, I want to release you back into that. You know, I'm working on the whole thing of speaking less. I know you guys don't believe that can happen, but one of those things is I love the spontaneity of you listening to the Spirit. Because I want to do that all week, but I love hearing that from you as well. And so we want to keep, you know, using like testimony and realize even in your life group, you know, when they say, hey, what's been going on? Don't keep that to yourself. You speak those testimonies. Somebody asks you, say, hey, what's new in your life? Oh, nothing. Hey, if you belong to Jesus, there's something new in your life. You always have a testimony you can speak. So encouraged. I want to just invite you to stand. Let's just praise the Lord together.
Lord, I come. I can pray. I will hear. I without you, I'll fall apart. You're the love that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
Hey, praise God. This is just so awesome to hear you praising him. Couple of instructions as we get ready to leave, because we're about to disassemble this room and turn it into our dining hall this evening.